I want to fill you in on something. Some of you are aware of this. Heidi and I are going on a trip. And we scheduled the trip for this fall because we had Casey here, and we had Mike with us, and then Mike took early retirement. But we are going to be gone for 2 weeks. Casey will be preaching the next 2 weeks, and I know that he'll do a great job, and you appreciate his preaching. Appreciate the elders that will be covering different things, covering some things with Joe and Barb. Been talking with the elders, too, about covering some different things. So we appreciate to be able to have 2 weeks to get away. So Heidi had a significant birthday 7 years ago. I'll just say significant. All I know is she's always 29, so you figure out whatever birthday it was 7 years ago. I don't know. But I had promised her 7 years ago that we would do a Mediterranean cruise because one of the reasons is I wanted to get to the Greek islands because my grandfather was born on a Greek island. For those of you who don't know, my last name would be Glimacopoulos had my grandfather not shortened it. I'm kind of glad he shortened it. It's a little easier with Glyman. If you're wondering why I just went into the office, I'll tell you. That's where I went into my office. So it was back in April when Heidi finally said, okay, this is the year. And she saw something on Facebook. I don't know if she posted it, but she showed it to me. It shows a picture of, we'll just say, some seniors in a gondola fast asleep, okay? And it says something like, this is kind of why you should do trips when you're younger, okay? So you don't sleep through the whole thing. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just telling you what the picture said. But I said it to Heidi, we should do this trip, you know, while we can really enjoy it. And so this year she said yes. So I got on the internet, and I got on the phone, and I kept trying to get the cruise that I wanted. And because I wanted to make sure to include the Greek islands. I wanted to get to Athens, wanted to get to Rome. And we were looking at a 10-day cruise. And so I came so close, but then I couldn't click on it. I mean, I could click on it, but it wouldn't do anything. So I got somebody on the phone, and they said, yes, this, you know, that's it. It's perfect. They're like, but I can't click on it. That's what I'm telling you. You can't get it. And so it was like it was right there, and it just slipped away. You ever have things like that? It's frustrating, right? And then I thought I had something, and she said the price, and it was half what the other one was. I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Half the price, right? And then we're reviewing everything, and it's the wrong month. I'm like, no, no, it's not going to work. You want to go in October, not November. And so Heidi came down. She'd been praying, and she said, well, maybe it's like it's just not God's will for us to go. I'm like, you haven't been spending 3 hours trying to make this work. So I got in my car, and the day before, I'd added a new radio station, MeTV Radio, okay? Old, serious oldies and obscure songs. And this is an absolute, I can see how many people are like, oh, yeah, that's on my preset. MeTV Radio, 87.7. So I turn it on because I'm just like, I'm going to listen to my new radio station. For the first time in my lifetime, and probably the last, I heard the theme to the Love Boat. And I'm, yes! I went in, like hyper Steve Martin, yes! And I texted Heidi. And then I was at church, I think it was a Sunday morning, my office door was open, that door was open, and I was sitting here, it was the next Sunday, and I could see this. Which is something that I had long before I married Heidi, because for decades, I wanted to get to the Greek islands. So I had those two confirmations. When they're playing the Love Boat on the radio, and when you can see this while you're worshiping, then you know that it's God's will for you to go to the Greek islands. So we're excited about the trip. I've told the class on Tuesday mornings that we're going to do research on the book of Romans. That's why we're going to Rome. That's not really true. That's not why we're doing it. But we're excited about the trip. And we appreciate to have the time away. The church has always been gracious about that, and I feel like things are in good hands with all the folks that are left behind. So I wanted to make you aware of that. And some of you are like, you can just go to the Greek islands. There's that restaurant right over there on 22nd, but that's a little different. This morning, we did receive the offering. I didn't forget. Okay. It's when I do different things. That's when I forget. In case you weren't here, I forgot the offering about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, nobody said anything. If Katie was here, she would have said something. I know she would have. So we're looking at this series that the genesis of it was we were talking and just saying, like, there's this guy at work. Drives me nuts. So do you know some people that don't listen so good? You know, sometimes in working with young people, I'll say, great kid, there's only one issue. The ears don't work. Is this the revenger or something over here? Oh, I see. Joe, I wouldn't sit between the two of them. Last week didn't work out so well, this week. So, but some people just, it's because they talk so much. Now, I got to be aware of this because I'm an extrovert. I'm much more of an extrovert than an introvert, although I have a certain amount of introvert. So I have to be a little bit more conscious about listening. Could you help me here, Casey? Would you mind? All you have to do is pretend you're me, and you're shaking hands with me. Now, let me just set this up. This is like 25 years ago. I was a speaking pastor. It was at Oak Brook. A lot of you know this is where I used to be. We were in an interim situation, and Oak Brook was one of the fastest-growing top five churches in Illinois. And I was going down to district council, and I was going to meet the grand poobah himself and the district superintendent. Not that I was anything, but I was the speaking pastor at a church that was in a very critical situation. So if you're me and I'm that guy, I'm not going to say his name. So just step over here and shake my hand, and here's what he did.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Yeah. I'm not exaggerating. You can have a seat. Thanks for playing me. And I was pretty stunned. I'm like, not that I'm anything, but I'm kind of in an important situation. And he made eye contact with like 20 other people and was like, I'll get to you as soon as I'm done with this guy, is pretty much what he was saying. He did not impress me with his listening skills. He didn't impress me with just even connecting. What is the thing about listening? I want to suggest to you that, well, let me just ask. I know Joe got thrown under the bus. You know people that aren't the best listeners, don't you? Okay. How many times do you say, well, I told you that yesterday, and I know as you get older, sometimes it's like, now, I'm not saying you didn't tell me, and I'm not saying I didn't hear it. I just forgot, right? We just forget things. But there's a difference. We need to hear. So let me just go over a few different things here. We live in a world of distractions. How often is it quiet? We are uncomfortable with quiet. We have car sound systems. Not just sound systems. In my car, it came with Sirius XM for free. And every year I've learned how to just say, I'm going to cancel it, and then they cut the price down to a third, and then I'm like, okay, I'll keep it. But you got to make sure you threaten to cancel it. But I mean, I have TV stations. I can't watch them, but I can listen. I can listen to almost any kind of news I want to, almost any kind of sports, and it's really nice. But that means I have tons of options in my car. Rarely is it ever quiet. How about your home? I'm sure you have sound systems at home. You can say to Alexa, Alexa, play country music. And Alexa will play country music for you. She won't play it backwards or anything like that, but she will play country music for you. How many people do we encounter today that have headphones on? Either Buds or Beats. I mean, people have headphones on. There are people at the health club, and it's just one of the most annoying things is when you're trying to talk to someone, and then you realize they just see this. They don't hear anything. And I know, I have to know at least 100 names at the health club. I've been going there for 24 years. I know scores of people there. But some people always have headphones in. There's this one young lady. She always has headphones in. And so the first 37 times that I saw her, she had headphones in, so I could never say hello to her. And then it's kind of awkward because now you've seen the person all these times, but you can't communicate with them because they're in this alternate world because they're always listening to something. Then there's YouTube. How many people have ever gotten on the internet, whether it's YouTube or Facebook? I can do it with ESPN. I have the app, and it has little videos. So if I want to watch the Taves hat trick, I could watch that. And then the next one, they seem to know me. They know what I want to see, you know? They know my Chicago proclivities and things like that, and so they keep pulling up stuff. And then it's been 9 minutes. And wait a minute, I just wanted to see the Taves hat trick. Think about the difference between just going on YouTube or watching videos and just reading a book. I'm afraid that reading a book is getting to be a little bit of a lost art. We live in a world of distractions. Now, I know that a lot of this is, I'm talking about hearing right now, but there's also visual stuff, because we live in a world, I think, of sensory overload. Okay, how many of you grew up with a black and white TV only? Okay, how many of you grew up with a radio only? Okay, all right. You're looking, I didn't see any hands. But yeah, growing up with black and white TV. Like, Eddie, does that sound pretty incomprehensible? Yeah, whatever, yeah. It's crazy. Then we had cousins that had a color TV, and then we got a little color TV, and now color TVs. And it's not just color, and it's not just 3D, and it's not just high def, and it's not just Blu-ray. I was at T-Mobile the other day, they got this new thing. I don't remember what it is, but yeah, it was cool. But the more that we get on that sensory overload, I think it affects our ability to hear and to just kind of be. We need stimulation all the time. The Blackhawks have their home opener today, and they are introducing, they're now essentially able to use the entire ice as a screen. Sounds pretty cool, right? Last Hawks game I was at, it was so loud. I mean, between everything else that's going on, you can't even just talk to the person next to you. You can say, it's a pretty good hockey player out there or something. It's because there's all this stuff that's going on. Because heaven forbid that we could sit there for a moment and talk to the person next to us and listen to them. Okay, that's the external stuff. Do any of you have what I'll call internal clutter? There's just these things that are going on in our head. We're talking to someone. We're smiling when we're talking to them. But we're thinking about my grocery list. I have to buy this. I have to get this done today. I hope this person will stop talking soon because I really need to go do something else. We can't say those things. Could you imagine if we had a little screen on our forehead that said what we were thinking? We'd have less friends. But then there's the anxiety. We have fear. We have all kinds of different thoughts that are going on that keep us from just being able to hear the people that we're with. One of the things I appreciate about Heidi is sometimes at the end of the day, she'll point out to me that someone was trying to communicate with me. And I'll say, no, I was talking to them, and I heard what they said. But did you understand what they meant? Or what do they mean? I'm like, do you really think that's what they meant? She's like, yeah, this has happened. And she was right. I heard the words, but I missed the heart. See, that's a good listener. So this morning, we're going to pray. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture. We're going to pray. But how are we at hearing other people? And I want to challenge you with something else. How good are you at hearing God? Is it really a dialogue? And let me just mention this about prayer. When we think about prayer, some people will say, well, I'm not good at praying. But if half of prayer is just listening, shouldn't we all be good at that? To just be there quiet with God. But let me suggest to you, in our culture, we are not centered because of the external distractions and because of the internal clutter. We have a hard time listening to God, and we have a hard time listening and hearing other people. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy 32. And I could have put up hundreds of different verses. There should be one for Deuteronomy 32. There we go. If you look up just the word listen or hear, you will find scores of verses. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words that I say. Heavenly Father, we present ourselves before you today. And I don't think there's a one of us that would say that we couldn't improve in the area of listening and hearing. And I really believe that there are those of us who really need to hear from you. Help us to understand why we're afraid to do that. And help us to deal with the external and then the internal clutter that keeps us from hearing others and hearing you. Speak to us through your word today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think a lot of us know the story of Hannah in the Old Testament. She was having trouble conceiving. She wanted to have children. She was crying out to the Lord. And finally, she said, God, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to your service. Now, this wasn't just, you know, someday he'll go off to Bible college. And this wasn't, he'll be an altar boy. No, it meant that from the time he was like 3 years old, he would live at the temple with Eli the priest. So God gave her a son, and his name was Samuel. And Samuel is one of the most powerful Old Testament characters. And the only negative thing that we know about Samuel is that he had sons who didn't follow as closely after the Lord as he did. Other than that, there is just nothing negative about Samuel. But he grew up in the house of the Lord. And let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to go through this passage right here. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. Let me ask you something. Do you think today that people are getting messages from God, that there's a lack of visions? Let me, before you just fully answer that question in your own mind, we have Scripture today. But how many of us really are hearing what Scripture has to say to us? Philip Yancey is my favorite author. He hasn't come out with a book for a while. I have the sister of a very good friend of mine works for him, so I messaged her and said, is Philip coming out with a book anytime soon? And unfortunately, there's no new material coming out for a while. So I went back to reread a book that I'd read before. And some of you know, I highlight stuff. When I went back to Philip Yancey's book, his most recent book, this time I highlighted almost everything I didn't last time. It's like I missed it the first time. But how many of us highlight things in Scripture? Oh, that's my favorite verse. Well, how about this verse over here? That's for somebody else. That's not my favorite. That could be your favorite. Maybe we're missing something. But I find this very interesting. It says that in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare. And visions were quite uncommon, in spite of the fact that on my phone, I have the Bible in every essentially known translation. And yet we live in a time where I think people, it's almost a famine for hearing what the word of the Lord really says. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Can you imagine? Those of you that are parents, you have a child, and then you say, at 3 years old, he's going to go be sleeping by the ark of the covenant. I mean, he was set aside for God. Folks, our children are a trust from God. They're, in the end, they're really not ours. He entrusts them to us, but ultimately they belong to him, and that's why we dedicate children. Suddenly the Lord called out Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and he ran to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? And I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, my son. Eli said, go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. Let me suggest something to you. You can hear from God. I'm not trying to put words in God's mouth. God has spoken to me in different ways, different times. But there is a little bit of a learning curve. And I can remember when I was a much younger man that I remember I heard something, and I thought, it wasn't out loud, but I'm like, is that God? And I kind of tested it with Scripture, and I didn't think it was the Lord. I think we have to learn to hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. They know the kinds of things that I'll say to them, and they'll know that when it's not me speaking to them. So Eli or Samuel didn't have this experience, oh, but he would. He was a prophet who heard from God. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, that might be a little frightening, right? When you finally realize this voice that you can hear, like you don't think it's just in your heart, your mind. You're hearing someone call your name. Joe, Mike, Nancy. And then you realize there's nobody else in the house that's saying it. And I like Eli's counsel. There's some negative things we could say about Eli, but there's some positive things as well. And he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Not just speak and I'll take into account what you say and I'll take the part I like and throw away the part I don't. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Can we say that to the Lord this morning? Not out loud, not as a group, but maybe this afternoon or maybe this evening or maybe tomorrow morning. Just say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. I wonder for how many of us we think that's a little scary. Because if God really says something, I'm accountable for it. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Samuel learned at a very young age to just say, I'm listening. And God spoke to him. God spoke to him throughout the course of his life. If you've even read 1 and 2 Samuel, it's some exciting stuff. I mean, it covers the kingship of Saul. It covers the kingship of David. Samuel had a powerful role in shaping the nation Israel. But it started out when he was a lad. It started out when he was a little boy, and he learned to listen. Now, some of us might say, well, I'm not a little boy anymore. But in preparing this message, and I'm telling you, there are some messages I'm working on them, and I'm thinking, I can preach this, but I need to live it more. And to be honest, I think I used to be better at hearing from the Lord than I do today. Now, I think God speaks through me when I have no idea he's speaking through me, and I think God speaks through you when you have no idea he's speaking through you. But I think sometimes the older we get, we develop more clutter, more baggage. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe you're just the opposite. But we need to fight through that so that we can hear from God. I remember the first retreat I went on. I went to a Catholic high school. And the first night that we were there, we had an evening session. And then they said it's a tradition of our house. It was out in Plano, Illinois. They said that from this moment on until breakfast, that there's silence. We're a bunch of 16-year-olds, okay? And it doesn't really matter what age you are, but here it is, 42 years later, 43 years later, I still remember this. But they had individual rooms. And in your room, you had a bed, you had a sink. There had to have been a bathroom in there, otherwise it wouldn't have worked. We all just went to our rooms and nobody talked. We went to our rooms. I still remember that 43 years later. I don't know that God talked to me, but it was a profound experience. And no headphones, you know, no Walkmans, no nothing. I remember once up at Camp Awana. You know, I've probably been up there 35 times or whatever. So this one time I thought, man, that was awesome, that experience that I had. So I'm going to try it with cabins with like 8 or 12 people in them. It lasted all of about 30 seconds. How good are you at just being quiet, shutting off the distractions? Let's take a look at a passage of Scripture that a lot of us, I think, are familiar with. Let me just mention something else. Children can hear from the Lord. How many of you have kids and they say something and you think they're kind of being silly or whatever, and then it strikes you, it's like, oh, God just talked through my granddaughter. God just talked through my child. And sometimes they don't have the defenses, they don't have the clutter that we do. Sometimes children really do hear from God. Let's take a look at 1 Kings chapter 19 about Elijah. The Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Do you ever feel like God just wants to go, Paul, What are you doing here? That's what he's asking. What? I think what he's kind of saying too, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? You know that old expression? There's a lot of meaning to that one. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Not just what are you doing. But I think God would ask each and every one of us, what are you doing here? What's going on with your life? Well, he's got his own theory about what's going on, and we're going to find out. Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Well, I think he's feeling sorry for himself just a little bit. I'm the only one. Do you ever feel like you're the only one? Everybody else has abandoned God, but there's just you. I mean, it would sound pretty bad because you're at church this morning, there's other people here, right? It's like these other people showed up, but, you know, me and God, we're tight. But Elijah's feeling sorry for himself. And he says, here's my situation. We're going to find out that it was false, but how did God speak to him? I think a lot of times we want something big and flashy. The handwriting on the wall. Well, you don't want the handwriting on the wall. If you know the story, that's not what you want. It's not good news. And scare the daylights out of you. And God says to him, go out and stand before me on the mountain. And Elijah stood there. And I just want to mention, he didn't have headphones in. No Beats, no Buds, okay? No iPad, no iPod. And the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Have you ever been through an earthquake? I went through a tremor in Mexico. It's unnerving, and there's no warning for it. Absolutely no way to know it's coming. And afterwards, we're laying there in our bunks on a mission trip, and one kid finally just goes, was that an earthquake? And I'm like, I guess so. I'd never been through one before. But it'll shake you in every way possible. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. God likes to whisper to people. Sometimes we as preachers, we like to speak really loudly. But we all know that if you really want someone to listen, whisper, right? The more quiet you get, a lot of times people really, really want to get what you're saying. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, God still had things for Elijah to do. And we don't have time to go into the rest of the passage, but God straightens out Elijah's broken theology and says, you're not the only one. I've got a lot of other people who haven't bowed the knee to Baal, and you need to continue to do the things that I have for you. What are you doing here? So this morning, if we want to hear from God, sometimes we think it's going to be like the Wizard of Oz and smoke and mirrors and all kinds of stuff like that. I think I've told you the story. Heidi and I were on a mission trip 10 years ago. We were at a big church in Phoenix. And when the service, before it started, there was like smoke up on the ceiling. And she's like, you know, something wrong? I said, no, they probably have a smoke machine. And she looked at me like I had three eyeballs. A smoke machine? This is church. I said, they got all kinds of lights and all kinds of stuff like that. And she's like, oh, give me a break. Like, they don't have a smoke machine. I go, okay. A couple minutes later, the service started. Smoke comes on, the lights. The stage was like 8 feet down, and so all the musicians are down there. The platform comes up, they're playing, there's the smoke and everything, and Heidi just looks at me like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. And I told young people, that's cool if you get excited and you can worship God with that, but you got to be able to strip it down too. And if you can't experience the presence of God with a guitar or a cappella, then please don't get into that. Don't get into that. We need to be able to connect with God and not just all of the exciting stuff that sometimes goes along with it. God is looking for people that he can whisper to. I know some of you are going to say, preacher, God doesn't talk to me like that. But I want to ask you, why did some of you sign up for PADS? You say, well, God didn't tell me, but he put this desire in my heart to do something that really lines up with what Jesus said to do, to take care of the least. Well, I think that's God talking to you. we're going to hear God in different ways. Sometimes we're just going to be overwhelmed with emotion. And sometimes you could be as stoic as possible, but you know that God's wanting you to do something. But I do believe God's looking for people he can whisper to. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 13, because this whole thing of listening to God, did I finish this? Oh, it's up there already. Okay. It's quick. There's that magician again. Anyone who hears with ears to hear should listen and understand. That's the end of the parable before. So Jesus is saying, don't just listen. You got to hear and you've got to understand. So tomorrow someone might say, did you go to church? And I'll be like, yeah, I went to church yesterday. Oh, what was the message about? And some of you would be like, see, that was yesterday. Don't feel too badly. Sometimes people ask me what I preached on last week, and I'm like, give me a minute. give me a minute. I'll get it. But a lot of times we're quick to forget things. And here's the other thing. A lot of times we think that we've heard something, kind of like when I was telling Heidi, no, I listened to that person. She's like, you listened, but you didn't hear what they were saying. They're really asking you for help. Well, they didn't say that. But they're asking me for help. Jesus is saying some people hear, but they don't get it at all. So let's take a look at what he has to say here. His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And some people feel that he used parables because it better communicates. Jesus is going to tell us in this passage of Scripture, and he's going to quote Isaiah the prophet, that sometimes he used parables so that some people wouldn't understand. Which might be a little bit disconcerting, but we'll answer why he did that. He says, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So first of all, he says, some people are going to hear, but they're not going to understand. And other people, they aren't even listening. And if I were to ask you today how many people in America are listening to God first and foremost, we know the answer to that. But how about within the church? And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. How good are we at hearing, listening, understanding? He says, that's why I use parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. Think of all the people who saw Jesus do all the things that he did. And many of those people were shouting out, crucify him. How? How is that possible? It's not so much the eyes, it's not so much the ears, it's a heart problem. And we'll get to that at the very end. For the hearts of these people are hardened. And their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear. And their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. I really believe that one of the reasons why Jesus goes into this teaching, in this explanation, is because Christianity is not a philosophy. It's not an ideology. It's a relationship. And what he's saying here is, if you don't have your heart open to me, you're not going to get it. You can memorize Scripture and miss the mark. I have a friend who passed away a few years ago. She was a missionary. She had cerebral palsy. She had a difficult time speaking, but was a powerful communicator. She was a personal friend of Elvis Presley's. Mary Martha was just a wonderful person. The one preaching point I will never forget. She says, some people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm 18 years old. I'm like, how can you miss heaven by 18 inches? She says, because they got it all here, but they don't have it here. Got it all here, but they don't have it here. God wants the core of our being. He doesn't want us to just have the ideology down. You know, a lot of us don't like sharing our faith. We don't. The idea of going door to door is reprehensible to most of us. We have some Jehovah's Witnesses. They come all the time. Heidi smiles at people, and they think she's happy, so they keep coming back. So we get all this literature, and we're glad to take it so that nobody else gets it. But if Christianity were only an ideology, we could train people who didn't believe in Christ to go out door to door and spread the gospel. But that's not how Jesus wanted it to happen. He said, I want to infiltrate your life with my spirit, transform you from the inside out. Jesus wants us to hear from him, and he wants to transform us. So what does all this have to do with being a good listener, good person? I'm going to share a couple thoughts on prayer, how it can help us to be a better listener, and I'm going to share one thing about the human heart. I'm going to ask you today, when I talked about being scattered or having all this internal clutter or external clutter, what were you thinking? Were you thinking, yep, that's the guy next to me, it's the person in front of me, or were some of you just like, man, is that me? Because I got like all these tapes running in my head, things that my parents said, things that teachers said, all kinds of different stuff. Trying to please my spouse. I got all kinds of different clutter going on. So I'd ask you this morning, how grounded, how centered are you? When I pray, one of the things I try to do is to get centered, to just get the clutter away. It's not always easy. I'm going to give you three different prayers and sort of techniques. So you don't have to probably write this down because there's not much to it. The first one, when my mind is kind of being overwhelmed with things that are negative and I just want them out of there, I will just say the name of Jesus until I'm not thinking those things anymore. I might do it silently because you got that internal voice. That's a pretty amazing thing that we can just be saying all this stuff, but that can overcome the clutter. Just again and again, say the name of Jesus. Nobody's around, I'll say it out loud. If I'm in my car, I'll just keep saying the name of Jesus out loud until I get centered on him because he's the core, he's the center of my life. Let me give you an example. I've been on a lot of mission trips, and when you go on a trip, you've got lots of details. So you're taking 15, 25 people to foreign country, airline tickets, luggage, food. Sometimes we'd ship food with us. And a lot of times we would do training. We'd do an obstacle course and different things. And one of the things, they do a trust walk, you know, where you're blindfolded. And then we do this big trust walk out in Wheaton back in the day where the person in front could see, but everybody else has a blindfold on, but you hold the person in front of you. And then you get to a point where the person in front of you kneels down and you grab their ankle. And I think there's no talking to. And you're blindfolded and you're following the person in front of you and you go through a tube that's about that big, which means you have a person in front of you and behind you. Anybody have any issues with claustrophobia? Oh, my goodness. So, and I got to tell you that I had a lot of clutter in my mind because I have got a lot of stuff that in the next 12 hours has to be done, but I'm doing this thing with the students right then. And there were times where it's the right of being the leader. I would be holding that ankle, someone's holding mine, and I would just step out and connect that person with that person, because I'm like, I'm not doing it. But one year, I specifically remember, I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I just crawled through the tube, and I just said the name of Jesus again and again and again. And I got out, and I'm like, that was really cool. Like, it was just, I did what I did not think I could do. And then they challenged us. They said, now, we want one person to crawl through this way and one person to crawl the other way over that person. Now, some of you are responding exactly the way I did. We had a couple students do it, and then I said, okay, I'm going to go for it. I would be stationary. Mike Steger was going to crawl over my back. I'm telling you, it's like, it's not just that I'm claustrophobic. I'm big, okay? I'm in there. He got his head to about the small of my back, and stop, go back. Go. And he's like, no, I can do it. No, you can't. And I just demanded that he back up. I came so close to doing it. But if he got right over me and started wiggling and got stuck, I can't even think about that. Okay. I can't even think about that. How many of you feel like I do with that? Okay, I feel a little bit better. But just saying the name of Jesus is powerful, and it takes our mind to a different place. Two other simple ways of prayer. One is just called the Jesus Prayer. People have been praying it for centuries and centuries. Just quiet yourself and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then just keep repeating it. And then you can change it up. Lord Jesus, I receive your word. Lord Jesus, I receive your peace. And you can keep going on and on like that. I'll tell you, when I pause and do that, I feel like he is sitting in the chair next to me, like he is right there. A third sort of prayer technique. We don't talk about things like this a whole lot. And you don't have to say these things out loud, but we inhale and exhale. There's a rhythm to life. If you've never noticed that, you can't just do one or the other. You inhale and you exhale. And so when you inhale, in your mind, just say Jesus. When you exhale, say sin. When you inhale, say the Holy Spirit. When you exhale, say pride. When you inhale, say truth. When you exhale, say lies. It's endless, the things that you can do here. But these are things that help you to be centered. You can inhale and say peace. Exhale, say fear. Again, all of these are simple techniques, simple prayers. You don't need to be an intellectual. But I think they help us to bring us to a point where we can listen. And when we're centered, we can listen to other people. I mentioned that it's a heart issue. So I shared something on Tuesday morning with the Romans study. I'm just going to cover it a little bit here. So we got one passage from Romans chapter 2. We covered it. So those of you that were here, you clapped out of this, but we'll let you hear it again. For you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of the heart produced by God's Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. So Paul's argument is, okay, the Jews are all circumcised, and they think they're all high and mighty and better than everybody else because they've been circumcised. And they look down on people who aren't circumcised. And it's such a weird thing to talk about, isn't it? Circumcision. Let's go back to the origin. God was making a covenant with his friend Abraham, and we know Abraham was justified by God because he had faith. Oh, he put his faith into action. Can you imagine? Abraham comes back and says to Sarah, I was talking with God again today. He made a covenant with me. Well, what's the sign of the covenant? God asked me to cut off my foreskin. I'm not going to get any more graphic than that, okay? If you don't know, look it up, whatever, ask somebody who does. Cut off the foreskin. Okay, if I was Abraham, I would have said, how about baptism? I'm willing to be baptized. You can sprinkle me. You can immerse me for a minute. But let's leave the foreskin alone. You think Abraham didn't have faith? And then he shares with everybody else and they go along with it? That's faith. But what Paul is saying is, that's not what it's about. It's a symbol that our hearts have been circumcised before God. That process of circumcision was painful. I remember talking to someone born in another country, and they said when they were 13 years old, it was a rite of passage, they would go to the barber shop and there was a straight edge blade, and when you were a man, then you circumcised yourself. I am so glad I was born in the United States of America, where we don't do that. What am I saying? I'm saying that circumcision of the heart is going to be sometimes a painful process where God tears away that which keeps us distant from him. But if you allow God to soften your heart, then you'll be able to hear him. And that's what Paul's getting at here. So as we wrap this up, I just want to challenge you. How good of a listener are you? The reason we're not good listeners is because we're distracted people. And if we can learn to listen to God, if we can learn to center on God, then we're going to be people who can be present. You know, I go back to that, what I started with. I will never forget going down to district council, meeting the district superintendent for the first time, never even made eye contact with me, probably never heard a word that I said. He was not present to me. And I realize that there are times where, as a pastor, I'm not present for people the way that I need to be. I need to be more and more in a place where I can be present. And we're there when we take care of the external and the internal clutter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I think that a lot of us are scared of what you might say to us if we really listened. And the truth of the matter is, we might know what you really think about us. But your word has already told us that we are your sons and your daughters, and that you love us. Lord, maybe you would whisper to our hearts, "You are my daughter with whom I am well pleased." The same thing that you said to your son Jesus. And if Jesus needed affirmation when he was on earth, how much more do we need true affirmation from you? Lord, I know this hasn't been perhaps the most fun message, but there are some people here today who really want to hear from you. And I pray that you would quiet them so they can. And Father, may we be that listening ear at work, at school, at home, that doesn't just hear the words, but they hear the heart that's behind it. Bless your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.